Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The pick six at six, where we'll pick the six most important players in Commanders Bucks outside of the quarterbacks. Coming up at 6 p.m., it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We were going around the NFL, but I do think we just got the magic horn going off, so I do think we're going to audible back to what our plan was at 5:30, which was to talk to Mike Mayock. Of course, Mike, former GM of the Las Vegas Raiders. He was before that the lead NFL draft analyst on NFL Network, and now he is on Westwood One as their or one of their lead analysts, and he'll be on the call with my guy Jason Benetti this weekend. Mike, Craig Hoffman here in D.C. Appreciate your time, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm previewing a playoff football game in Washington, D.C. I am doing quite well. We haven't had the chance to do this in a while. And one of the big keys that we've been talking about all day and really all week, Mike, is Washington's ability to stop the run and with Tampa and Bucky Irving and just how magical of a season he's had. What have you seen from what Liam Cohen has been able to design down there in Tampa and how this Bucs offense, even though they, you know, everyone talks about Baker and he had an unbelievable year with 40 plus touchdown passes, really kind of starts with that run game and everything flows from there. How have you seen what they've built?
You know, it's been fun because I've spent the whole week watching tape of these two teams. And I went back to week one to watch, you know, the matchup between Washington and Tampa Bay. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Tampa has been the worst rush team in the league the last 2 years. Then you put the tape on and they start moving some of the Washington bodies around a little bit. And at that point, week one, their tailback was Rashad White. And Bucky Irving didn't even get a touch until somewhere around the beginning of the second quarter. He ended up with 9 touches, but was their leading ball carrier. And this is what I see with them. What I see is a couple different things. I see they're really talented up front. They've got 2 first-round picks in Tristan Wirfs and the rookie center, Graham Barton. They've got 2 second-round picks in Cody Mauch, the right guard, and Luke Getteke, the right tackle. And then they signed Ben Bredesen as a free agent this year, who's kind of a physical left guard. So when you start up front, With 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a 26-year-old free agent, you're in really good shape. And then you look at their tight ends, Cade Otton blocks, Payne Durham blocks, and I think the guy that's really made the difference has been Bucky Irving, because I like Rashad White, and I think he's a very good running back, and I really like his pass protection on third down. But Bucky Irving makes a big difference. He's got a different burst, a different acceleration. That big offensive line gets a push, and he makes people miss. So you don't often see a rookie come in and average 5.5 yards a carry. So I think Bucky Irving's been a big difference in this offense.
Not only does he make people miss, Mike, he makes them miss at the highest rate in the league. It's like, I think 38% of his carries, he forces at least one missed tackle, which is just an obscene percentage. Of course, on the Washington side of it, they'll be trying to set good edges, make sure he doesn't get out to the perimeter. And one guy that is going to be helpful in that, hopefully for Washington, is a guy that you know quite well, Cleveland Furl. What did you see in Cleveland back when you drafted him, when you guys were with the Raiders? And then what have you made of who he's become now as a player for Washington?
Yeah, I mean, I think we clearly overdrafted him. What we saw was a guy we thought could be an inside-outside player, could play defensive end, defensive tackle. He was big enough and long enough, about 6'5", 268, 270 pounds. Thought he could be a difference maker both inside on pass downs and outside on run downs. And really, I think he's a smart, tough football player. I think he can do those two jobs, but just not at the level of what we had hoped for. So I think what you're looking at is a solid veteran player. He's in his sixth year. He played well for San Francisco last year. He's got a solid effort for Washington this year, but hasn't made a difference as a pass rusher.
I think he's been like he's part of the physicality for sure for this team. It's been interesting to watch him just be like, hey, what is he now? As opposed to obviously so many people talk about, you know, where you guys did draft him back in the day. Today we see Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu get named second team all pro. Mike, what do you see from Bobby specifically at this stage in his career? What are the things that are still all pro, some of the best in the league level? And then where do you think that if you're Liam Cohen and the Bucs offense, you're trying to, you know, exploit, you know, a weak point in this Commanders defense, whether it's somewhere around Wagner and Louvu or otherwise?
A couple things. Bobby Wagner's 34 years old, 13 years in the league. And when you put the tape on, his experience tells. He instinctively gets to the ball ahead of younger, more quick people. He's what I call a heavy player, not by his weight, but by his thud on the people he contacts with, whether it's a guard or tackle trying to get on his body, yeah, or whether he's hitting a running back. So that. He's a big, thick guy. Frankie Louvu flies around, and he makes a difference not only in the run game, but the pass game. He's got 14 quarterback pressures. He's got 8 sacks. I think one of the things that Dan does so well and Washington does so well is they integrate both of those guys into their pass rush. So that front group, regardless of who's in the game at the time, whether it's Johnny Newton and Jonathan Allen or Daron Payne and or Sheldon Day, they integrate those two linebackers into their pass rush scheme. And I think that's critical this week. Baker Mayfield does a great job in the pocket. The more tape I watch of him, I'll tell you, the better quarterback I think he is. And I think he's got one of the best feels, natural feels, of any quarterback in the league in the pocket. He can extend the play to throw, which is what he wants to do, but in certain situations, he'll tuck it and go and get you a first down or a touchdown. So I think there's a huge challenge this week, and Louvu and Wagner are going to be a big part of it, not just in the run game, but in the pass rush lane, because they're heavily integrated in the pass rush, but also covering KDOT and the running backs, because they use Bucky Irving and Rashad White. And between the two of them, those two running backs have almost 100 receptions. So their screen game, their check down game, a lot of that comes on the linebackers.
That's a great call on the pass rush stuff, actually. Wagner and Louvu, per Next Gen Stats, the only duo in the league of off-ball linebackers to get 20-plus pressures. I know Frankie cheats a little bit because he's lining up on the edge so much, but that's great call by you on that for sure. When you flip the field and you watch what Washington is doing, we've kind of just given in to the fact that, like, so much of what they do is Jaden Daniels driven. There's good architecture around him. Obviously, Terry's fantastic. There's some other good players. But then last week in the second half, Marcus Mariota goes out and plays his tail off and leads this comeback. So when you watch that, was it Marcus doing some of the same quarterback driven stuff that Jaden has done? And this really just does require a big time performance from Jaden Daniels? Or is the architecture maybe a little bit better than we've given it credit for when everyone's just like, oh, it's five doing the magic?
Well, first of all, it can be both, because five is doing the magic. But I think the architecture is really good. And we had Marcus Mariota when I was with the Raiders. And I love the match, the fit for Marcus in Washington. You really don't have to change anything. All you really have to do is highlight the quarterback run portion of the playbook for Marcus. You know, Marcus reads things out so well. And when Derek Carr went down a couple of times with us, really one time against the Chargers early in a game. Marcus came in and put 30-some points on the board against the Chargers. He was accurate. He was tough. He can beat you with his legs. He's not always a natural thrower of the ball consistently over time, but Marcus Mariota can come in and play, and he can play at a high level. And I like the architecture, as you call it, because you really don't have to change much if he's in the game. You just kind of you shift the game plan a little bit. And regarding number five, like somebody asked me the other day, you know, who would you not want to play? And right away I said, I wouldn't want to play Washington. And the reason I wouldn't want to play him is because if five stands on his head, he's going to beat you. And there are only a few guys like that in the league, and Washington has one of them. And what was cool to me was I went back, I told you, I watched the game week one, and he basically was all about his legs week one. And I'm really happy I went back and watched that game, because the progression for that kid over the season, he can still kill you with his legs. He missed a couple throws week one that he won't miss now, because he's such a natural thrower, especially on the deep ball. So he's a kid that has come an awful long way. He's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league for years to come. But I would hate to be a defensive coordinator. And that's like when I watch and evaluate a college quarterback, I kind of look at it from a defensive coordinator's perspective. And I'd hate to be a defensive coordinator going up against Jaden Daniels.
Mike Mayock, analyst for Westwood One. He and Jason Benetti on the call on the radio nationally this weekend. And last question for you, Mike, is what do you do if you're Todd Bowles? The answer seems to be, as of late, blitz the high heavens. And they certainly did in week one. And then they've cranked up the blitz to 48% of pass snaps after their bye. So we know Bowles is going to blitz. But how do you do that and make it effective against a guy who is now reading the field totally different than he did in week one, does have that quick live arm, and of course can make guys miss and make those plays with his legs?
Yeah, I made a lot of notes week one about pass rush lanes for Tampa Bay, and I've watched Todd Bowles for years. I mean, he's a Temple guy and I'm a Philly guy, and I've seen him mature for the last 30 years as a player and a coach. And when in doubt, he's bringing the house. Now, what you have to do against any quarterback is talented with their legs, and whether it's Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels, or you and I could name four or five more, none of them quite as good as those two with their legs. But I think what you try to do when you want to pressure is you want to force them in a certain direction. You know, you want to force, you want to overload it one way, and you want to force him a certain way, maybe an escape to his left. And then you got to have somebody ready. And this is what Tampa Bay didn't have week one. They rarely spied him. They spied him one time, and I think it was Tryon Shoyinka, number nine, who got credit for a 2-yard sack. But they forced him out to his right. He chased him down to the sideline. But when you have a guy this talented, A, your defensive ends can't go past the quarterback to open up a lane. And B, you try to just, you know, like you try to hurt him a little bit like a Sherpa. And then you like to have an answer when he comes out the other end. The problem is trying to put a spy on that guy dictates an athlete of similar caliber. And there just aren't that many running around.
Not at all. Mike Mayock, analyst for Westwood One Sports. Again, he and Jason on the call this weekend. Mike, thanks so much for your time here on the radio. Safe travels down to Tampa and enjoy the heck out of this game. Hope it's a good one.
Yeah, and by the way, at the end of the day, you got to give Adam Peters an awful lot of credit what he did in free agency and the draft. And I think that gets overlooked sometimes. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Absolutely. I mean, hopefully he'll get all the recognition here in a couple weeks for Executive of the Year. Certainly going to be in the mix for it. Mike, appreciate you. Thank you.
Thanks, man. See ya.
That's Mike Mayock with us here on The Hoffman Show. You never know who's going to show up on a football Friday. Logan Paulson, his voice is going to be in your ears coming up at 6:30. Next, though, Anthony and we, I think we got this. We got you ready for a playoff edition of the Pick Six?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready for a playoff edition of the Pick Six. Hit the commercial break so we can do the playoff edition of the Pick Six.